Ajahn, anything you would like to talk about first?
I have the question, but may I don't know you have or not. For me, I don't have any question. Yeah. I have question later.
We are curious.
Yeah. I have the question, your questions.
We have gamma through body, speech, and mind. Is that
what
right?
You mean by that?
Well, we perform this action through body.
So?
This action through speech. But I'm wondering about what is the gamma through mind?
Would you like to know?
Well, my idea is, for example, if I have intention to do good deeds.
Just know the story of gamma. But now, what moment is gamma and what moment is not gamma? Not only in the book, but it's here and now.
Well, seeing, hearing, tasting, that's the result of gamma.
Vipaka?
Vipaka.
Yeah.
And gamma.
Want to see, to hear. Yeah.
Well, the what gamma is performed through mind or?
Can there be only just speech without thinking, doing things without thinking?
My understanding is no. There must be thinking for speech.
So talking about the 10 akusala kamma patha or the 10 kusala kamma, can it be without mind or?
I'm not quite sure what the 10 are, but I'm guessing no.
Mm-hmm. What about thinking of killing and kill? What is gamma and when is gamma?
Well, the thinking is gamma and the killing is agusala gamma patha.
Mm-hmm. At moment of killing, can anyone say the difference between killing without planning before killing or just killing by chance or by situation? Like stepping on the ant, or when you clean the dishes and there are ants there, and then no intention to kill that, to kill ant at all, but it's done. So that is the difference between manogamma and kayagamma.
Okay.
Without planning
right.
It's kayagamma. But there must be intention to kill right then, but not before that. But when you have planned for a long time or just days ago, and then there is killing, it's through manogamma. To show the difference between two different deeds or action, through mind and through body.
So if I plan to kill but don't,
agusala citta,
agusala citta,
but the action has been done.
It hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
Like in a dream.
Mm.
But I think that that's the story. But we study Dhamma to understand whatever appears. This is the most important. If you just think about kamma, kusala kamma, akusala kamma, what about now? Hearing the teachings, understanding it, is that kamma?
Hearing, it's vipaka.
We are listening.
We are listening.
To the right words, the true words, and understand at that moment. Is it kamma or not kamma?
It's kamma.
What are we?
Well, if it's understanding, it's mind or.
So, what kind of kamma?
Kusala kamma.
Kaya kamma or vichi kamma or mano kamma.
Mano, okay.
Yeah. But at moment of talking about the right words with right intention with kusala.
That's through speech.
But right understanding must be the mano kamma. It's useless just to talk and try to find out and think much about it. But the most important thing is that at this moment, is there ignorance? this is my question, if you'd like to to ask or to have question or not. At this moment, is there ignorance or not?
There is ignorance.
There is ignorance. How can be courage to understand that moment as not self or as ignorance now, here? No understanding enough. That's why we learn a lot in order to condition right understanding of whatever is appearing now. To really understand the characteristic of that which we have talked about long, long time, for years, and even right now. But at that moment, is right understanding enough to have right awareness of whatever appears now? This is the point.
On this general area that you just spoke about, the importance of awareness and understanding, I think a lot of people have the idea that the different kinds of gamma, mano, vaji, and gaya, are different kinds of gamma.
Chetana is chetana.
But really, isn't it just a way of explaining or classifying
different
gamma
moments? Yeah.
So there's no significance in the fact of whether a particular act of gamma is which kind of is.
But why did Buddha teach, see, just to be conditioned for right understanding and right awareness at this moment when conditions are enough? But when there is no awareness and right understanding of our reality right now, it means that the understanding is not enough. The condition for understanding whatever appears now is not enough at all. Until then, so one can see, what's the use of listening to the teachings, trying to find out whether it's kusala kamma or whether it's kaya kamma or vajji kamma or mano kamma, when there is no understanding directly of our reality? As he just said, all dhammas are anatta. That's why one keeps on understanding the point of studying. Otherwise, it's delirious dhamma.
Ken, you also had a couple of points
you wished to raise. One was on the topic of killing, and one was on interpretations. Would you like to raise your?
Killing is karma. And karma is intention. So in order to discuss conventionally what killing is, we talk about there has to be a being that can be killed, there has to be intention and the act and the eventual death. But really, killing is just intention, it's just jetna, chetasika. So is there any difference between the akusala jetasika that we call killing and the akusala jetasika that we call stealing?
What jetasika?
Chetana.
Chetana. Mm-hmm. It arises with each citta, but when it has reached the degree of doing something bad or good, it's another level of that which just arises with every citta.
Yes.
And where is it now?
It's present now.
Who knows?
Jetna is present now, but not.
Who knows?
I'm sorry. I thought that was the answer that.
Yes, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
What it means is we know in theory that there is chetana at each moment because we read it in the text.
Oh, I see.
But and is it actually known at this moment, or is it just an idea that we have? Does its characteristic actually appear?
Can it be known?
It can be directly known if it appears.
How can it be known directly?
It has to appear at the mind or as an object?
Now, it is appearing or not?
I'd say not.
No. So when and how can it appear as object?
When there's been sufficient understanding at the theoretical level first.
Perhaps. So without that kind of conditions, even Jedana arising and falling away now, no one knows, right?
I see, yes.
That's the way to develop just the understanding only. Otherwise, nothing can condition the direct understanding of whatever is appearing now at all.
Thank you, yes.
So it's the matter of trying to do something or trying to be calm or whatever
mm-hmm.
with ignorance and attachment.
Yes, sure.
Could someone? PP agree? Where is he now?
PT, yes. Could you come a little bit this way?
Talking.
Ajahn would like to know if you agree.
We are talking about whatever appears now. Can it be known directly?
I don't think I can. I guess some people with a very developed understanding can. I never can tell the difference whether I'm thinking I'm aware of something or whether I'm actually aware of something.
It's still I. When there's no direct understanding. And Buddha taught the way to understand now.
I don't know, I just never can tell really. And we can take it on faith that yes, definitely.
On what?
On faith.
Faith?
Yes.
Yeah. Beginning from hearing.
Yes.
Yeah. And have more confidence in his teachings about whatever is now appearing can be directly understood. That's what he taught.
So, Ajahn, killing?
Again.
Yes, continue.
Continue. What about other things? Stealing?
Stealing, killing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These refer to, can be said to refer to a particular strength of Chaitanya?
Certainly.
And this strength is.
Because it's accompanied by other jitasikas like lopa or dosa, which is very strong.
And this strength, for example, in the case of killing, this strength is reached, so to say, as a result of depending on what went before, the intentions that went before.
Keep on thinking, finding out, not what is now appearing.
No.
Ken, you said that Gama is Jetana, a Jetasika. But I think your question is, because not all Jetana Jetasikas are the Agusa Gama Pata of killing. So I think your question is what distinguishes that Jetana Jetasika or Jetasikas from any other. Would that be right?
From any other Agusa Gama Pata.
Or Jetasika. Any other Jetana.
Oh, I see. I think so, yes. That does occur to me as a question. Yes.
Yeah, and also from, well, Ajahn just mentioned one distinction between, say, killing and stealing is that killing is accompanied by dosa, is a dosa mula jitta, whereas stealing is likely to be a lobha mula jitta. But
yes.
Even so, there can be different agusala gammapatta that have the same roots and are not distinguished according to the mental factors. So I think your question is, what distinguishes the moment or moments that are one agusala gammapatta with certain mental factors from a different kind of agusala gammapatta with the same mental factors?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. And is it thinking? Is the answer thinking?
And what's the point of understanding this?
The point of understanding is if we understand that, we also understand the dharmas that are arising now.
That there is no self.
That there is no self.
At all. To support the understanding of whatever appears now, little by little.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what about the
question you wish to raise about one's own interpretations and views?
Yesterday Ajahn, you just mentioned in passing that some people prefer to follow their own path rather than following the Buddha's path. And it occurred that to me that might be me sometimes. I have a bit of a reputation for coming up with strange theories. But the Buddha taught for 40 years, and he taught different ways for different people according to their ability to understand. So perhaps I prefer different descriptions of dhammas than other people here do. And perhaps haven't a wrong view, I just have different interpretations, or I prefer different descriptions of dhammas.
That's why we have to understand the point of listening to the teachings. What for? No matter it's taught in by way of sutta or vinaya or abhidhamma, just to be the support for right understanding and right awareness right now, mm-hmm. which are anatta. No one can condition it to arise at will at all. No. But when there are enough conditions, the understanding of anattaness more and more. And then whenever right awareness arises, the understanding of anattaness is there as well. Otherwise, how can there be the understanding of no self without the understanding the realities which are taught by way of sutta, vinaya, and abhidhamma?
Yes, good. Thank you. Was that the question that I had that you were thinking of, Sarah? Or was there something else that you were thinking of?
Just whatever is your question.
All right, thank you. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Ajahn.
Just getting back to the previous topic, I think, judging from our discussions, there's an issue as far as you're concerned with the fact that one form of Agusala Gamapata is distinguished from another by conventional descriptions. So even if the jetana is rooted in, say, attachment, but there are different forms of Agusala Gamapata, Ken feels that the so-called conventional factors like the death of a person and so forth are not actually to be taken literally. Is that right?
Well, I suspect. So the death of an ant, perhaps, is the killing of an ant is a Kusala Kamapatha, but the injuring of a human being, no killing involved, also a Kusala Kamapatha and stronger than the ant one, where there's no killing involved.
Yeah. What is better to understand this moment of thinking of the word killing an ant, or no understanding of reality at all? What is better, no matter what we are talking about, killing an ant or other subject? Can that be understanding the reality as not self? Or just no understanding all the time, all the way in one's life? There can be understanding of thinking. There can be understanding of sound. Mm-hmm. There can be understanding of anything which is conditioned. But ignorance cannot. That's why listening to the teachings condition right understanding of reality, not just the story. Mm-hmm. Because we thought about story many, many times a day.
Yes.
Long, long time ago, without understanding reality. But after hearing the teachings, there's the understanding of Dhamma, reality, which is conditioned, which appears. So what's the use of knowing that, or understanding theoretically, that now there is no one, there are only different realities? Should it be more understood, little by little, with right understanding? Even at thinking, otherwise we are talking, we're listening to what the other said.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the understanding which can be right then of reality, but without conditions? It has to be just I am thinking about that, always. If I don't thinking about this, I'll think about that, and that, and that all the time. And the understanding which can support the understanding of even at moment of speaking. Otherwise, the idea of self cannot be eradicated absolutely, as long as there is no understanding of any reality today or tomorrow. And so one understands the point of reading or talking, discussing or Dhamma, just to have more confidence that the point of the teachings is to understand whatever appears now.
Ajahn, I think this is basically what Ken tries to encourage us, what you're saying all the time. But there's also this problem. Sometimes it sounds like it is irrelevant that the karma is this kind of karma, killing or hurting someone else. There's no difference. Sometimes that's what Ken is saying, that these are the idea. Or if I can put another question, Ajahn, can you explain what it means, for example, in the text, when it said that killing results in short lifespan?
Or next life?
Mm-hmm.
Or when time comes?
So what does it mean for killing to result in short lifespan, or stealing resulting in something else?
Just to know that they are all anatta. When there is cause, there must be result, sooner or later.
Like the chuti-chitta. Chuti-chitta is result of karma. So when it's time for chuti-chitta to arise, it's time for it to arise because of past karma.
Lifespan, chuti-chitta will arise.
Yes, but when does it arise? Like now, not time yet for chuti-chitta, because no karma that has conditioned it to arise.
So, in other words, what's the exact relationship between killing and short lifespan? And what causes long lifespan? And
when you kill someone, you wish that person to live long?
No.
See, so when there is a wish or intention for anyone to have short life, the result is the moment of dying with short life, because you just want to have short life, no matter the other or you.
You have anything to say?
What?
No. So the desire, or that. The desire to make life short.
Mm-hmm. Well, that desire, condition.
Condition of short life.
Your wish come true. For yourself. Because it's your own citta, not the other's citta, or the person who is killed.
So is there always a correlation between the act and the result?
The most important is the nama, not the rupa.
Yes, true. But, for example, there's a sutta where a farmer kills a cow by wrapping straw around its neck and setting fire to it. And in a subsequent life, the farmer is reborn as a crow who flies over a burning hay, and some hay comes up, wraps around its neck and burns it to death. So there's this correlation between the act and the result. Now, is that to be taken literally, or does it just mean that, in general, strong akusala means strong, undesirable rupa?
Right cause, right result.
Yes. Just a general, though. It doesn't have to be about fire the actual
who means. Knows that at this moment seeing is conditioned by what karma in what life?
Previous life.
What life? Conditioned this moment of seeing? What karma?
Don't know.
That's it.
Oh, I see, yes.
Achan, I have a question about sila number 5, when no drinking alcohol, and how alcohol can affect to the mental and physical body. I understand in theoretical it will lead to the wrong speech and wrong action, but I'm not clear about this. Yeah.
When one is not drunk, such action cannot be done. All ill deeds can be done at moment of being drunk.
Sorry.
So should we avoid or should we have more to be drunk at?
Or if we drink a little.
For health? For health?
For health, yes.
Yeah. It's not intention just to be drunk.
So it's just only for drunk, for being drunk? Or?
Because everyone sees the danger of being drunk.
I remember.
But the drinking itself is not kama. It's not kama patha. No, no.
But I remember once on a trip in India, one of the Thai friends said, oh, I just drink a little and it's just for health and this and that. And Ajahn, and so can I just drink a little bit every day? And Ajahn said the problem is that the liking for the taste accumulates, so then one wants a little more and a little more because that a particular kind of attachment for that taste accumulates. And then when it's more, like she says, then it can lead to telling lies or stealing or any kind of other strong akusala.
And can that person study Dhamma, the one who drinks?
Cannot.
Can or cannot? Can. It's all right. Because as long as, yeah. Otherwise, there will never be the understanding of what one has accumulated at all. The self trying to abstain, but no understanding. But whatever appears is already conditioned. So right understanding can understand that. Otherwise, it's like just a moment ago, without understanding. All realities arise and fall away without understanding.
Ajahn, there's also the question about the relationship between rupa and is there any relationship between the rupa and then the nama? Because how that is when a drinking occurs, then after that the mind is said to be clouded. So what is the relationship?
In brief, they are all dhammas. The rupa can be conditioned for the arising of nama by way of being nisayapachaya or aramanapachaya.
Nisayapachaya? What is nisayapachaya?
The eye bears. The ear bears without all these rupas. No seeing, no hearing. And hadiyavatu in the 5 khandhas plane.
So can you say that when drinking occurs, it's like provide the condition for other rupa by way of ahara condition?
That is thinking again, see. Try to find out what kalapa is conditioned by what? Kamma or citta or utu or ahara. Who knows now? The whole body.
We can't prevent thinking from happening. Just
thinking.
Conditioned already.
Conditioned by the previous memory. Without memory, can there be thinking?
It's
It's a little bit, I think, difficult here also. Like we say that whatever is seen or tasted, it happens by karma. So it's vipaka. So the moment of drinking, the moment of tasting, that is also vipaka.
Didn't Buddha tell anything about the person who drink a lot? What's the result?
Madness, right? Next year.
Usually, yesterday, what jetasikas arose very often, yesterday?
I think as usual, loba.
With?
Ignorance.
With?
Ditti. No,
Ditti.
Ahiri and Anotapa.
With?
14 Akusala.
What about Uttaccha? The time when one cannot understand what is there. If there are more and more Uttaccha in a day, can it be the condition like drinking and know nothing about what happened at all? Because there are moments of loba and moments of dosa and moments of kusala, but if you think about the uddaccha, at that moment, moha without loba and dosa, no conscience. So at that moment, when one drinks a lot, what happens? And more, so next life, what would that person be? Very little or no conscience.
With regard to the question about the rupa, and I think it's a little bit like a question Metta was asking this morning about, so one knows that the rupa can condition the citta by being aramana, like tasting that rupa, that object, so it's, and there can be the accumulated liking or for that taste, or by nisya support like eye base or heart base. But the question that we were discussing this morning was about when you mentioned yesterday about anything as conditioned by pakutu upanisya pachya, and the question was about rupa, because can one just say it's the liking for this taste that accumulates and conditions the madness because of the way that it is experienced.
And how can there be the understanding of pakatu upanisya pachya or aramanu upanisya pachya? Now or when? Because you see, at moment of eating, what we like, why there is no understanding of pakatu upanisya pachya then. But now we're talking about pakatu upanisya pachya. But at that moment, no understanding of pakatu upanisya pachya, because there is no understanding of any reality as it is. We just remember the word and try to understand as much. But who can ever understand the words of the teachings? All of them, no matter Vinaya, Suttanta, and Abhidhamma. So one can know one's ability, the accumulation to understand as what? Not Sariputta, Moggallana, or even Kaspa or Anuruddha, Ananda at all. So there can be the understanding of delirious Dhamma, thinking over and over and over, and can there be more and more understanding, and what's the use of remembering only the word? But the understanding is more important. If there is the understanding, never change, about now it's a reality. There are so many realities, all are realities, but begin to see or understand just one at a time, right now. It's the beginning of seeing the value of the teachings, to condition moment with understanding of whatever appears. And this is the point, that will not lead to the wrong understanding and do something instead of being aware by conditions. Understand the moments of right awareness as they are, as no self. No choice, no selection, without selection. Otherwise, it's done by I again. Pakatupanisyapachya, see. So there's no blame for anything because of pakatupanisya. This is the understanding. Because actually there's no person at all. No being like permanent one.
When we study Dhamma, Dhanajan always remind us the Dhamma is about now. No matter by way of pakatupanisyapachya, or Aramana Pachaya. So yesterday, Kun Sara talked about the Pakatupa Nisya Pachaya. So I wonder, how can Rupa be a Pachaya, Pachaya Dhamma for the arising of Pachupana Dhamma? So now it's quite clear because she gave me the sample about the climate and just now the test is about now. Dhamma is about now. Now it's quite clear. Thank you.
Remember what is the pachupanna of any pachya. So for pakatupanisya or aramanupanisya, anandrupanisya, the result which is conditioned must be citta and cittasika.
Yes, yeah. The pachupanna.
Which experiences all those until it becomes the pakatupanisya for that citta and cittasika to like or dislike.
Yeah. No matter all dhammas, citta, cittasika, and rupa, even panyati can be the pakatupa, nisya, pachaya for the citta and cittasika.
Like, we'd like to know more and more about the words, one's habits.
Experiencing of those panyati that can accumulate.
Thank you, Anata.
Can we say just accumulation?
It's just thing because it's given me a different angle. Like by saying that the taste, for example, it's the condition by way of aramana for like a certain tendency like liking. Like having coffee, taste coffee and liking it and, it's not so obvious, but when we think about, alcohol or even drugs, so maybe it's by virtue of such strong liking, a strong loba that it conditioned even, higher or more stronger states of delirious.
Because the problem is mental.
Yes.
So for example, if there's swallowing poison now for us or for an arahat, the problem is the accumulated tendency of akusala with regard to tasting that object.
Taste.
Yeah.
With I know, but
so
there's no taste.
With the accumulated taste akusala or whilst thinking about or responding to that taste. To that.
Yeah. So you.
There need not be any association with taste, because if you're just popping pills, there's no taste associated with it.
Or injecting.
Or injecting, directly into the...
Not even flat taste?
But, yeah.
This is a
But it's not, maybe not a necessary taste, but it's experienced through one of the different doors. So either it's like bodily experience or it should be one via one of the different doors.
And her example originally was with regard to taking alcohol, so usually there is taste.
But regardless you've ever had before or not, if you take, you do get drunk.
Yes. So how can we understand that?
Citta nama affecting rupa, and rupa affecting nama.
And in what way?
What was your answer?
What about Aramanupanishya Pajya?
Aramanu. Can you say more, please?
The Aramana, which is the support for seeking, searching, looking for it again and again.
But I think some people, they don't feel funny when they're tickled. But we have been here for years, so it has been conditioned maybe on, so
like
who knows.
Some people drink alcohol and say no effects. So.
Yeah. Who knows?
But it's quite clear that it's rupa does affect nama.
Wait for the microphone.
No, I think you agree that in daily life even, a big print, prick a pin, and I mean all just different reactions to even seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just talking about pakatupanesya pataya. So taking drugs, same thing. Maybe it happens in the brain, but you know, it's all connected. But it's not to say that it will change your accumulations. It's whatever the reaction is based on what's accumulated anyway.
So let's say when we don't take, we don't consider the liking or disliking, but when drugs is taken, for example, somehow it condition other rupa, and that that they are experienced by bodily consciousness, and then the arising of the mental states following that are conditioned by that aramana. Right.
I think the example you have in mind is, say, someone takes a pill that has no taste to it, but is a psychotropic and induces, say, hallucination.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
You're wondering what is the relationship between, what is the conditioning factor between the pill and the hallucinations.
And what about the nutriment and temperature?
They condition rupa also?
Four causes of rupa's four conditions, citta, kama, ahara, and temperature. So in this case, if it's not citta or kama, then what about ahara and temperature?
Agree. But then the mental states that follow that, so that would be by way of aramana.
And by paktu panisya pakya.
And what about when one is hit? Very strong. What happened?
Hey.
Unconscious.
Unconsciousness is like bhavanga citta.
What is bhavanga citta?
Vipaka.
It experience what?
It experience its own object, which is not the objects of the world.
No, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking.
Okay. You said about when we are curing someone and it's like it happened to... Because like you wish about that, and what about like the kusala movement, like dana and sila? Can you explain a little bit more?
You wish the others to be happy, so it returned to you.
Like now,
according to Jedana, the result should be kusala vipaka. When kusala kama has been done. Make a wish? Or there's dhamma. Kama and vipaka. No one there.
wishing is not enough. There must be action.
By the way, can you explain a little bit more about understanding this moment in theory, not direct understanding?
Citta cetasikas arising. And rupa also is conditioned all the time by kamma, citta, utu, and ahara. Enough? What else should be done?
I don't know.
No self, no one.
I thought it was a good comment that Jan made a little bit earlier about, you know, like understanding something like accumulations, pakta upanisya pachya, like loba now accumulating, and when there's understanding this way of accumulation, no blame for anyone, because it's clear they're just dharmas that are accumulated, like now at this moment, by understanding now, by hearing about dharmas, understanding accumulates, so apparent no one there at all, so no one to blame, no one to be upset with, or because one knows it's just that accumulated tendency at this moment. And that's now, so what we're talking about, these, about the conditions like the object of taste or the accumulation of liking or disliking, it's all about now, in order just to understand there are only cittas, cetasikas and rupas. No one there at all.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm not quite sure I understand when Achan remind about understanding the moment right now, because there's no direct understanding, so that the reality only, like, we just understand it in a concept, not reality.
But this is the beginning, because for most people, if you say, oh, what is seen, they'll just say table and people, and of course it's obvious. So at least now there's the beginning to consider that actually what is seen is just that which is seen. It's not a tree and it's not a people. This is at a moment of thinking. So just by beginning to consider in a way that was never considered before the Buddha taught is the beginning of understanding about now, how it's different from the old way of thinking, that there are just these cittas which experience an object, and there are those dharmas which don't experience anything, the rupas. So it really is just one world at a time. So it is the beginning of understanding. And that's the way that sadha grows, by becoming more and more familiar with the realities at this moment.
That's why I asked whether reality right now can be known or not.
You know.
Can it be known directly?
It can.
More confidence.
Would you say, PT, can be known?
I want to add something.
Yeah. Sarah and I had a little chat about reminding about loba. And several times Sarah stressed to me, it is not a question of my loba or your loba. So I found that very useful, because we think of persons who have loba. But I like this very much. Maybe you can elaborate a bit about it.
Can you talk louder?
Actually, it was just before the discussion yesterday, Nina said, made a comment about, oh, I hope Ajahn speaks this afternoon. And I said, any hoping, any loba? And there was a discussion about, oh, my loba, your loba. And I said, actually, it's not yours or mine or anyone else's. It's just loba, and useless to think of it as my loba or someone else's loba, or to compare lobas, or like some people may feel shy to ask a question, or they know this or I know this, but actually, they're just dharmas, just moments of
conceit, moments of lobha, moments of dosa, moments of understanding. They don't belong to anyone at all. So I think it's helpful to reflect, otherwise one's lost in the trap of self and my lobha again. But
so is there lobha now?
Yes.
Again? See?
Yes.
Very common. And talking about lobha, as Ajahn kindly put Petey in the hot seat, last night we were talking about his breath practice, and he made a comment that he considers it's better than TV, lots of pleasant feeling, focus.
And better to have more lobha with wrong understanding.
And the question was about whether it's wrong understanding and when he thinks there are no sense objects appearing, what it means, and following the movie of the mind going to the breath. Please say more, Peter.
As long as there is no understanding of breath, can breath be object which is less and less object of attachment? So what's the point of breath meditation? To have more lobha when citta feel good?
Yes, I think I entirely agree. It's mostly to do with lobha. The only issue is there wrong view as well? Because that's the real problem, I think. If it's just lobha, then I at least consider it, it's just like watching TV. But if there is wrong view, then that is a problem. And
is that not you who doing so?
There is no me.
But yes, this is the point, yes. Whether like siddhi or not. When you like something, it's only lobha. But when you do something with wrong understanding, that is siddhi.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of. Because I am trying to chase a particular mental state, because I believe that I can obtain it or control it in a way that's already wrong.
So how can there be the understanding of that moment? It's not me who's chasing, doing something like that.
Sure. But then,
is that the teachings of the Buddha?
No, probably not.
Can we say at those moments of wanting to chase that the wrong view would be one of the realities arising?
Latent tendency, whether it arises with citta or not. But it's not the teaching, because we're taught about all dhammas as anatta. As long as there is atta, and not follow his teachings to understand directly of that characteristic, it's not his teachings.
But if wrong view is just latent and doesn't actually appear, then it can't be understood, can never be characteristic.
But all dhammas can be object of understanding. Otherwise, it's useless to talk about.
But it feels so good. It's so hard to let go.
Attachment like it, but not you. But attachment clings.
It's very hard to let go, but
no one can let go. Don't try. Useless.
But then that means I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing, you see, because it's...
And develop understanding.
Hopefully.
And then understanding can let go.
That's right.
I think it comes... comes back to what
Ajahn was saying earlier. Do we have confidence that there can be awareness of present moment reality without any practice?
So would letting go then purposefully also be a practice?
Yes, why not? Anything done purposefully like that is has an idea of me doing this to achieve a result, or it should be like, it shouldn't be like it is, it should be different than what it is.
Okay, so as long as you're after a result in the future, you're off the track, so to speak.
Sorry, say again?
As long as you're after a result in the future,
yes.
You're on the wrong track.
Yes.
result now or result in the future. Same thing.
And also, if there's any idea of controlling mental states, because you mentioned that, if there's any idea of one thing is just being attached to the mental states, but if there's any idea of controlling, then for sure it's...
How could you tell the difference? Because sometimes you wish for more kusala. So then that would also be, I mean, the Buddha sort of encourages kusala, and you wish for kusala, but...
Yeah, and they can be trying to have kusala. It can be subtle or not so subtle, then for sure it's wrong practice.
Did he just say having more kusala with the self, or all realities are anatta? Forget that all the time.
Maybe it's better just to be concerned with other people and forget about yourself. Forget about your own kusala.
Another practice.
Come on, it's not.
I think that confidence is not firm enough, because one has heard about dhammas, anatta, but there's still the idea of doing something just for lobha.
So as long as there is a desire to do something, it's probably lobha.
With the idea of self, as long as there's no understanding of whatever appears right now. By hearing that without this moment there cannot be the development of understanding Dhamma as anatta, it can condition little by little to have the right awareness arise by such conditions.
And could you perhaps say a little bit more about awareness as distinct from understanding, I guess? Mm-hmm. Because perhaps sometimes it feels like there is awareness or appreciation that a particular moment is... Well, I hope it's kusala. It feels different. But I don't really know, is it awareness, is it understanding? It's hard to...
So awareness cannot develop when there's no understanding of awareness. For example, right now, when there's no understanding of ignorance of whatever appears, how can there be the understanding of that which is opposite of ignorance?
There is always the question, though, so how do you get there? You
see? Again, how can I? No conditions, just wish. And the studying the teachings is against lobha and all akusala. Also, wrong understanding. That's why we talk about this moment, to understand whether this moment is ignorance or right understanding, even intellectual understanding. Because everything arises and following without any understanding from time to time, more and more. That's why we come back to this moment to realize that there is ignorance of the reality which appears. But there can be the intellectual understanding little by little until it can condition right awareness because of sanya, or firm confidence.
And Ajahn's talking about confidence of awareness of realities at the present moment in ordinary daily life. So your questions are all about a special time and situation, and is it kusala? If so, is it awareness of kusala and so forth? But if these dhammas are not known in daily life, there's no chance they can be known in a special situation like that, where we really want it to be kusala, we want it to be awareness. Just like so there's no basis for really knowing in that situation. So unless kusala and awareness is known in daily life first. So that's why we talk so much about seeing invisible object, hearing and sound, because these are the realities. So is there confidence that there can be awareness of these dhammas in daily life?
I trust you guys, so I that's why I trust it can be, hopefully. But I mean, I don't know.
But you've studied teachings quite a lot, I think. So you've read a lot. So is this what the Buddha spoke about?
Yes.
Yeah. That would be the source of any confidence. You seem quite tentative, though, about it, as though, well, I suppose it's possible, but I don't really...
Well, I can say, because I don't know. I mean, I hope, yeah. I really hope it is. I'm very, I'm so confused on the difference between thinking that you are aware and actually being aware of something. I cannot tell the difference. And, like, various ideas and concepts. And so say an idea about awareness, an idea about the direct experience versus an actual direct experience occurring. I don't know, it's all very, it's just ideas to me. I have no...
So that's why there has to be intellectual understanding first about what is visible object, what is its characteristic, so that if awareness does arise, then it confirms what has been studied in theory.
But that's the problem. Sometimes I think, oh, that's awareness. That confirms everything I read. Then later on I realize, no, that's just more thinking. It's just fooling yourself, so to speak.
I can understand. I can understand that it is so difficult.
Because self has not been eradicated. So there is self all the time and wanting to hear, wanting to develop understanding. And then you are wondering, and I understand that.
But what about confidence?
I think confidence comes with experience, with direct experience. And I never know, did I have it? Did I just have it?
What about,
is it just all imagination?
Yeah. What about considering each word, the word of the Buddha, non-self, when it's not enough? It's not from confidence. It indicates that confidence is not conditioned for right or direct awareness yet. In order to have such awareness, which can be aware of directly of a reality right now, there must be more and more confidence. As long as there's I am studying, I heard the teachings, but I'd like to be or to do such and such. It's not firm confidence at all. So it's confidence, or we can say satta, which is not the satindriya yet. Very little, not enough.
And like we were discussing with Tiny Tam yesterday, same point, but even now, if there's thinking now, doubt now, these are also realities by, so there can be understanding even now of that thinking or doubt, because these are just dhammas, not mine or yours or PTs. And even at that moment of understanding doubt or what appears now, there can be confidence that that is it, that is all there is at this moment. So any reality, no matter it's doubt or unhappiness or anything.
But PT hears about confidence and he may wonder, how does it begin and why? Yeah, why confidence?
Begin with confidence, not self. It's a conditioned reality. Without conditions, confidence cannot arise.
Must be confidence in something, in what?
How come to be confident if there is no understanding of the teachings of the Buddha? So it depends on whether confidence of the teachings or confidence in your own idea.
I remember Ajahn explaining about this before, and before we first heard about the teachings, we had no idea of these dhammas, seeing invisible object, hearing and sound. We didn't think of the world in those terms. And it was confusing when we first heard about it. But gradually we began to be able to understand at an intellectual level what these meant, that there is a difference between the consciousness that sees and the object that is seen, for example, and that visible object and audible object are experienced through different doorways. And then you said there are moments when it might be awareness, you think it's awareness, but later on you doubt that it's not. But I think the question is really, now that one has been studying the Dhamma for some time, is there a better understanding of what visible object is or audible object is than before? Because if there is, then it indicates there have been moments of awareness. Whether or not we could be sure afterwards that it was awareness or not. So if dhammas are understood better now than they were before, then I think this is a basis for confidence in further development of the same thing. Whether or not we really know at the moment whether it's awareness or not, but obviously the sooner there can it is moments of actual awareness are known as different from moments without awareness, then of course that is also a greater basis for further development. But even without that, there can be some confidence.
And I know that Tiny Tam and some of the Vietnamese are waiting to raise some other questions and a topic on breath and concentration. So Tiny Tam, I think, is representing the Vietnamese for this topic.
Oh, so honored. Actually, yesterday when we discussed about the breath, and in the evening we briefing again about all we discussed, and I have questions about the breath, because as we hear explanation, it is only the Chittacha Rupa. So, but in the suttas, then the Buddha say knowing the breathing is long or short, or knowing breathing in and breathing out. So I wonder, what is the realities of breathing then?
I would like to talk a little bit more about confidence. Because it's not our own thinking about it, but they're seeing right now. What is the confidence of it? It doesn't mean that we have confidence, but of what? We don't know. But at this very moment, what is appearing? What about confidence at moment of seeing? To know that it's so real, right? And no one can condition it. No one cannot have it arise at will, right? Confidence. So can it be I who sees? Not at all. It's not only seeing. What about hearing and thinking and any reality? This must be very firm to be great confidence on that can be known, that can be directly experienced. Why? Buddha had experience and taught us all about this. His words. So if one follows his words, one will not do anything at all. But hearing about confidence of a reality which is not self is there. So at this moment, if one tries very hard to understand the other thing, like breath, for example, does now breath appear? But seeing now sees. So what can be object of right understanding and right awareness better? But no one think about that. Just try to find out different realities and try to understand that which does not appear. So what is the confidence of seeing that it can be directly object of awareness and understanding? When time comes, not when I wish or I try to have other methods or practice to know it. The other methods are not the teachings of the Buddha. Otherwise he would teach us about that. But he never taught about another way except the development of understanding, to have less and less clinging to idea of self who is trying, or to the seeing as I at all. So this is the confidence. It doesn't mean that when we heard about confidence and we think that, oh, I have now, more or less. But what about confidence of whatever appears as object of understanding? See? And this is the way that without this, there will never be the right awareness and right understanding of whatever appears. Because you dream or you think about, I do this or that. But actually, it's not the development of right understanding which can eliminate the idea of self with attachment to that object at all. More confidence, little by little. And not just seeing, see, whatever. And we try to think about that which does not appear, like Jedana or breath or what else, see. So it moves away from whatever is now appearing. And ignorance is accumulated, for sure.
And again, when there's this kind of confidence, there's no question about whether it's just intellectual understanding or direct understanding, it does not matter.
Because understanding grows.
Yeah.
If there's no at all, how can it grow?
Last week there was a question about confidence, sadha, about sadha as leader. And you asked Rob, is there more confidence now or more understanding? And I think the point was different accumulations. But what is meant about sadha as leader?
Confidence. The more confidence, the more the other sopana cetasikas develop. Without confidence, you go away. Not sitting here anymore, right? But it's so very little. It needs more and more development to know by yourself whether the confidence is strong enough or still the same or not according to the teachings of the Buddha. It's one's own confidence about reality. So now breath.
Maybe you can repeat the point, the question again.
Not confidence. Yes, I know that breath is citta rupa, but then I read at the same time I read in the suttas, it's mentioned like knowing the breathing is long or short, or breathing in, breathing out. So I wonder if it is
on and what subject?
The breath?
That you are talking about, breathing in and out?
Is it under vipassana or samatha?
Samatha.
So now you know. The object of samatha?
Is concept.
Mm-hmm.
But even concept... because we know breathing is not...
At this moment, when it's not concept, the reality of breath will appear to awareness, right awareness, by conditions. Since it's not happened that way, so we're talking about concept of breath.
But without realities, there will be no concept?
Yes, but there can be wrong understanding like now. Seeing is real, it's a reality, but it's I who see. Instead of right understanding of seeing as not self.
Just because I cannot imagine what is...
Yes, I cannot imagine. Because no understanding, no studying of the teachings carefully enough.
Even the concept of a long breath or short breath?
Right now, please, short or long, breathe. See, concept? Of breath or the reality of breath?
It's like a confused and mixed up because one side we know breath is just citta rupa.
We think, we study, we learn, but it's not the moment of breath appear as the object.
Yes, but then how it comes to the breath?
How again? Who knows? I, or right understanding. that developed right understanding, or I trying to know.
I just mean about the breath, the concept.
Okay, now we talk about breath, the concept of breath, not the breath itself.
Because I don't know how it comes to the idea that the breath is long or short.
Breathe. Take a breath.
Long one.
Long one, see? See? That is not the reality of breath.
Yes, that's not the reality.
Because breath is conditioned by citta. Now, right now, all the time, except the 10 cittas. Who knows? But one thing is not the breath itself, which is now arising and falling away, having citta as its conditions. Is it not the Buddha words, what we are talking about, or what we think? Much different.
So, but your question, I just thinking when you raise your hands like this, you can say that you are raising your hands, and putting like this to say you're putting down. But in reality, that's just experience of motion or pressure. So it's just that. But then in thinking, you think that it is going down and it is going up and long and short. But in reality, it's just that. Don't you agree? At one moment, it's just that.
So when the context is a samatha, the reference is not to the reality that is breath. So, of course, conceptually, there can be long and short breathing in and breathing out. No problem, right? So we just understand it at that level, the conceptual level.
So would you like to follow the breath meditation?
I'm sure there will be moments when I will want to.
Or better to understand breath as not self. Or just follow it without understanding. And what is the teachings of the Buddha? Because the breath meditation was practiced before the enlightenment of the Buddha. But that person is not Sammasambuddho. You follow the teacher or your own idea?
I think I follow my ideas most of the time. I would like to follow the teacher, but very hard.
And the other day when we were having our informal discussion, one of the Vietnamese friends also referred to the Samadhi Sutta, right, and concentration, and they were wondering about concentration. Would you like to?
Actually, I don't remember about that.
Oh, it's got the mic.
Panya will cool it down.
Yeah. Azita?
I think the point that they were mentioning was, and where's Mai? Oh, Mai, about why always stressing understanding. What about concentration? Let's give it, put Mai in the hot seat.
Another.
Chance Bleed helped me to make it cooler.
When there is understanding.
Thank you.
I'll try.
Can I back to the big time comments before, because before you said like the breath, long breath or short breath, like it's the same when we raise the hand or putting down. So why the raise the hand and putting down is not become one of the subjects on the samatha?
I
I was using that example to show that in reality, just reality, that raising down or putting, raising up or putting down is just concepts. I was not comparing that as a subject for samatha.
Yes, but the reason why the Tiny Tam wants to understand more these subjects on samatha.
Please ask Ajahn.
Because you see that at moment of raising the arm up and down, no understanding of anything at all, right? But that is the idea of self who's trying to do something in order to have concentration. Even in Thailand now, there are many meditation centers now practiced by moving the hand or stand up. Of doing something which is not natural at all, of doing like this, or maybe other way, but no understanding. So you see that can the movement of the body condition any understanding, no matter it's samatha or vipassana?
So my why is breath one of the subjects of samatha development?
Sure, we talk about the right samatha development, not the wrong, the practice or wrong concentration. For example, no understanding of anything at all. Just follow someone's words. Or you just think of yourself to concentrate on breath. Because if it's the Buddha's words about the samatha development, he explained for the person to have understanding the difference between breath as samatha development and breath as kayanupassana sipatthana. According to the understanding of the listeners, or who can have both. But the practice must be different. That's why it is samatha bhavana and vipassana bhavana. Not anything can be some vipassana bhavana. That's wrong.
Ajahn, the subjects of samatha development, the 40, cover a wide range of things. So
40.
Yes. So perhaps you could say a bit about what is common among them as to how they can support development of samatha.
With our breath, can anyone live? By understanding that life is so very fragile, very, very fragile, it can end up any time, even depending on breath. But actually, no understanding that breath is conditioned by citta. But usually, one have the idea of without breath, there's no life. So just that very fragile reality can be conditioned life to continue, seeing that it calms down the mind to think about how fragile life depends on just breath. Right? So by understanding that, there can be the concentration or awareness, because samatha bhavana also needs awareness too. Even its awareness is not right awareness of the Eightfold Path, but it is kusala at that moment, not attachment to other thing else at all, because seeing that, oh, life is so very fragile, just depending on the very fragile reality, breath, by thinking over it on and on and on, right understanding of samatha can see the moment of kusala, which is calm, different from moment when one want to have breath as the object. It has to begin with right understanding, but it leads to calm or to right understanding of reality. This is the difference between the two developments, samatha and vipassana. It doesn't mean that no understanding at all. Just do, concentrate on it, and it is called samatha, but it's not. Someone might tell the others, develop or concentrate on breath, but no understanding of moment when citta is calm or not calm. That's why the five nivarana is the opposite of the five factors of jhana. Otherwise, the citta cannot be calmer and calmer without any understanding. Just want the mind to focus on breath, only that. By such manners, many strange happenings arise without understanding why it happened like that and what is that. Some might think that one can fly and one can see one's own body and things like that. No understanding of attachment to clinging to breath and other objects like sensuous objects. So the person who understand the moment of kusala sees that kusala from dana and sila, so very brief, only 7 moments in each process, is not more enough to be calm. So that person knows that when developing samatha up to the degree of upajara samadhi to the apana samadhi, at that moment no seeing, no hearing interfere at all. So citta is so calm. So those who develop samatha bhavana and have attained the apana samadhi only once in the first time, but panya can see the difference moment of apana samadhi and kanika samadhi and upajara samadhi. If that person is wise enough to develop more, then he knows the value of citta when the kusala can arise more than 7 moments as usual when it's not apana samadhi. That's why he developed on and on and on, and so until he's so skillful, until he understands the danger of the first stage of jhana, and understanding that without vitakka cittasika, the higher the second jhana can get away from having rupa as objects as usual, because the first jhana is quite close to moment of kama vajra citta, which sees and hears as usual. And this is kusala moments.
So samatha development is the kusala contemplation.
Certainly.
Of the subject matter. Mm-hmm. And I think you said that when the subject matter is properly contemplated, it leads to concentration.
To higher karmas.
So it's a matter of the kusala contemplation as the beginning, leading to the concentration at a later stage, rather than starting with concentrating on an object and thinking that is going to condition calm.
Because it can take away one from the sensuous object in daily life.
Ajahn, why then do those people believe that they believe that when one attains, it's always one, of course, it's always I, attaining the fourth level of jhana, they believe that at that point understanding would develop. Why do they believe this? What evidence do they have?
Who's the teacher?
Who knows?
But not Samma Sambuddha.
No, but they all have this idea that at fourth jhana, somehow or other, understanding
has
developed.
Because they have not heard the teachings of the Buddha.
And I think because they read about right concentration of the path in terms of 4 jhanas.
But what's the path? Because there are many people who had attained the jhana, but had no understanding of reality at all. Not like Sariputta, Moggallana, who can have both.
One comment you made in Vietnam that was interesting was that after hearing the teachings,
there was no more development of samatha to the degree of upachara and apana because of the understanding of realities. And when there's understanding of realities, there is calmness. So that before people heard the Buddha, many had attained 4 jhanas or jhanas. But after hearing the Buddha's teaching, because of the confidence in the understanding of realities, when there was that confidence, no more developing of samatha to those degrees. Is that correct?
Would you like to spend your time to be calm with no understanding of reality?
No point if there can be understanding of realities developing together with calm, then no point in attaining jhana.
And
or
all kusalas have calmness.
So this was correct, that after the Buddha's time, for people who had heard, no more developing of samatha to that degree.
And for those who had developed,
they already developed.
Begin to develop right understanding. Mm.
And a friend mentioned, one of the Vietnamese friends mentioned the other day, for example, in the Yuganada Sutta, it explains about 4 different ways of enlightenment, those who had already developed samatha and then developed vipassana, such as, you know, Sariputta, Moggallana, and so on, and those who developed samatha and vipassana together, and those who developed vipassana and then samatha. So in that case, what would be meant by those?
Not develop, but samatha can arise with vipassana or
right. But if it is afterwards, then because of this comment about how once there's development of vipassana, there'll be no more developing of samatha to upachara or apana. So what would be meant by afterwards, not to that degree?
The development of vipassana is moment of understanding whatever appears. If samatha of that degree has been developed to appear as object.
I see. So it's just referring to when it is the object, yes. Okay, so it's referring to the samatha developed with vipassana, that
because it has been accumulated.
Right. Any more questions from the Vietnamese on those suttas that were discussed the other day about concentration, mai, and why we stress so much on understanding?
And don't forget, confidence.
Yes, Achan Rimai asked about the confidence.
In the teachings, yeah, in the words teaching. Of the Buddha.
And Achan also Rimai asked, we can confident as much as we understand. So if we don't have, we don't understand, so how we can confident?
The confidence does not grow.
Yes.
So how can we say that it's more confidence only when there is more understanding?
And also have the wrong confidence and right confidence.
Not the teachings of the Buddha, when it's wrong.
Yes, but we can have the different explanation about the Buddha teachings.
With confidence enough?
Yes.
To know what's wrong and what's right.
Maybe right or wrong. Who
that
knows?
Is not confidence. Only confidence in the right way, right words.
But it depends on the way we understanding.
Not we.
Yes.
Understanding can understand the truth.
Yes.
Is there one right understanding?
Jenny.
Are you saying there can be more than one right understanding of the teachings?
I just want to make it clear in generations that how we can know we have the wrong confidence or right confidence, how we can know that.
Comparing to this moment.
Yes.
Is there any confidence on seeing that can be object of right awareness and right understanding to the degree of enlightenment? Otherwise, what's the object of enlightenment if it's not seeing, hearing, and whatever appears right then?
Yes, when Ajahn say, I say, I'm confident that the seeing can be realized
now.
Yes, now.
Not move from now.
Yes, now.
But if one moves, it's not confidence.
Yes, with confidence because of the Buddha experienced that and he touched that. So what kind of this level of this confidence? We've got just confident on about the from the sutta and
when
from
it's developed even gradually, no change from this understanding. That which has been gone cannot be object of right awareness and right understanding. That which hasn't come yet cannot be object of right awareness and right understanding. This is more confidence, not to move away from hearing and have confidence that not me who sees, not me who thinks.
Like now there is touching of, and someone says, is it a table touched or is it hardness? Actually, hardness right now that is experienced. And at that moment, there can be understanding. So how about, okay, when touching the microphone,
yes,
what is experienced at that moment?
I heard that and I think...
Never mind about what you heard. What about at the moment
you try
of touching?
You try to remind me that it can directly experience, but...
Never mind about everything that you've heard.
Yes.
Forget everything you've heard at that moment of touching.
Yes.
What is...
I touched the microphone.
Okay, close your eyes and what is touched?
Yes.
What is experienced?
Yet
with your
eyes, I still remember this microphone.
So the eye,
yes,
remember.
Yes, sure. All right.
Until.
Hope that.
Until.
Yes, I hope that.
No eye anymore. Until no eye anymore.
And actually, at that moment, when you have your eyes closed, you say, actually, it's touching microphone. It's just thinking about it.
Yes.
It's actually not what is experienced.
Yes.
Because actually, what is experienced at that moment is just hardness. Just
and,
that.
Excuse me. And you believe that it's microphone, but it's touch when you close your eyes, right? Can you know that at that moment it's not you, but wrong understanding? That can be eliminated little by little by the development of panya. Otherwise, it's always I holding microphone. Otherwise, Buddha didn't teach if it's not the way to understand realities as it is.
I think you're saying that it's all very well to know in theory that it's hardness that's experienced through the body sense, but unless this has been directly experienced, it's not known directly. So you're saying that when I'm holding the microphone, it would be wrong for me to say it's hardness that's being experienced, right? This is the case for everyone. We hear the theory, but it hasn't been confirmed. But we can at least say whether the theory fits with our experience in life or not.
You have to wait until the panya arises.
Well, panya cannot be made to arise. It arises, by conditions, as you say. But we can consider what we've heard to see whether that is consistent with the present moment as we do experience it. And from considering all that, we can either have an idea whether it seems correct or not.
Yes.
So then isn't it a matter of hearing a bit more and reflecting more on what we've heard? So the point is this, that it's all about the present moment, whatever that might be, isn't it? Just different sensed or experiences and thinking.
Yes. Thank you.
it's the same for everyone.
More confidence? When banya is there.
Like my banya.
When it's hardness. When it's hardness that's touched, not a microphone. That's the way sadha grows.
Ajahn, a few minutes ago, I believe it was you who said, in relation to confidence, not move away from hearing. Were you talking then about not moving away from the hearing of the Dhamma, the considering?
To somewhere, to practice.
Yes. But I think I've heard before not move away from the present moment, I've taken that sounds different from not moving away from hearing.
Until then.
Yes.
Because it moves now.
That's right. It always moves. But sometimes I've taken not move away from the present moment
by conditions.
Mm-hmm. When there is enough understanding,
right.
There will be direct
right.
experiencing and direct understanding
right.
of the present moment.
Right. And that is right awareness.
Yes.
Conditioned.
Yes.
By understanding.
Yes.
Not anyone who tries to do
right.
and to have.
Yes. And in the meantime, in terms of the growth of confidence, etc., we're talking about not moving away from hearing and considering of the Dhamma.
Thinking
by
oneself of one's own theory.
Yes. Well,
that's
thinking of one's own theory, thinking about. Yes, I guess we do think about the right path, right understanding,
or the
wrong path, but knowing, continuing to listen and hear the Dhamma until there is enough understanding that there is confidence of the path and what is the right path.
And by hearing, it actually means the considering of it. So it's
yes.
not a matter of saying how many hours of
right,
listening
right, is right.
nothing to do with that. So it's, I just mentioned that because otherwise some people might think, oh, they always have to be listening.
No.
It's not that at all. It's the considering about what is real at this moment.
Which can arise any time. Yeah.
And understanding that what one is hearing is the Buddha's word or
yes.
the other's word.
Yes. Yes, does it align with
Much
the Buddha's
different.
Word?
Because the other's word, condition, attachment. But Buddha's word, always condition, detachment.
Yes. Thank you.
So I'd like to address 2 points that Maya had said. So first thing is about the hardness. I think that if hardness could not be experienced and starts to be understood, the Buddha would never have taught about it. So there must be always the beginning of the moment of hardness starts to be understood as just hardness. So at the moment that there's a moment of touching hardness and say this is the microphone, at that moment there's no attending to the characteristic of hardness, but attending to the idea of this is the microphone. So whether at that moment there's the attending to the characteristic or to the idea, it depends on condition. But that for sure that should be possible that there's attending to the characteristic at that moment. Otherwise, there would be no beginning of the development of understanding. And then the second point is the confidence in different kinds of teaching. Different kinds of teachings, I think there's a difference. Like when you heard something that you agree with and then you think that, okay, if I follow this practice, then I will one day attain what that person is teaching about or Nirvana one or something. That is confidence in the future, thinking about something that might happen in the future. But when there is hearing the Dhamma, that arising at this moment, and there's some understanding of what arising now, there's the confidence that is based on now, of what is appearing now. So what is appearing now can be understood now, so for sure can be understood more in the future. So I think there's difference between 2 kinds of confidences.
Thank you.
think the sadha, the Buddha talk, can only develop with understanding reality at this moment, no other way. And anyway, I'm sure that Mai knows, she knows it's hardness that is touched, but it's true that we immediately think of microphone as being touched.
Is it wrong? Oh, right understanding can arise with right awareness, no matter what the thinking is about. This is confidence, more confidence in the teachings, in the words of Buddha.
What Ajahn has reminded us of often is that there can only be the experience of microphone, or the idea of microphone, because of the experience. You know, it's that the concept of microphone only appears because there is the experience.
Of hardness, right. Yeah. Yeah, if there was no hardness experienced or no visible object seen, there couldn't be any idea of microphone.
And thinking about microphone is conditioned, but the understanding can condition moment of direct awareness and understand what is there.